Thanks for joining us. It is the Son of Cheese Half Hour Power Hour. I'm Derek Knight of sonofcheese.com. With me, as always, across the broadcast desk in Studio D Chevalier, Colin Burton from fizzleandpop.com.
Hello.
And a special guest in studio. Last week, it was my mom, and now it's my dad, Jess Knight. It's a family affair.
How you doing?
We're doing good. Now, before we get started, I do have to say that doing a show like this one that's strictly a pod that... an awesome cast, which does carry the old explicit tag, courtesy of our friends at feedburner.com. It means that we can not only curse freely.
Hell yeah.
But we can talk about subjects that may be considered taboo if they were to be bandied about on a terrestrial radio station. Now, with that said, I should warn you fine folks, all four, maybe five of you, that we plan to make mention of both pee and poo in this episode, number one and number two. Now that we have that out of the way, let's fire this thing up, shall we?
Sure. Let's go.
Now, Dap, you've told me many stories of when you were a child, most of which I have to assume are false, because you lie a lot. You're a lot like me, or I guess I'm a lot like you in that respect.
You're the liar. You are a big liar.
But the best story that I think you've ever told me, and the big story that we're going to hear from you today, this one's all true, right?
This is true.
This is every word of it.
Every word.
Now, to set the scene, when you were quite young, you had yourself a problem. Sadly, from time to time, you wet the bed?
Yes, and I wasn't really young either.
Well, how young were you?
I was in the fourth grade.
Okay, so that makes you how old? I mean, I'm not good at math. That's nine?
Nine or
eight,
ten.
Eight, nine? Eight or nine?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Were you held back at all?
No.
You said ten. I mean,
I went to 2 years of kindergarten.
Oh, okay.
But that's because...
It was so much fun.
Yeah, yes. I had so much fun.
I had a ball in kindergarten when I wasn't wet in the bed and smoking my dad's cigarettes on the way to kindergarten.
So. You know, if I had done that, you would have killed me.
I would have killed you, but you're a boozer.
Well, we'll get to that later. But anyway, it was in fourth grade that your mom decided to take steps to correct this problem?
Yeah, she found this ad in a comic book. And it said, stop wetting the bed now. Are you the shame of the sleepovers? You can't go to summer camp. Stop wetting the bed 1,000. And so she called the number.
Sure, I'm sure she did.
And this
so
guy,
this way you wouldn't be the shame of summer
that's
camp.
That's right. I would not. She didn't want me to be the shame of summer camp.
Well, because she wanted to send you to summer camp because she didn't want you around the house.
That's correct. My mother...
And it came with a free submarine.
And a free submarine.
X-ray goggles.
Yes. And the guy showed up in a polyester suit with white socks and brown shoes. And he explained how it worked. And how it worked was a pad went under the sheets. And then the sheets went over this pad. And when you wet the bed at night, bells would go off. So you would, of course, have to wake up.
So this was supposed to, it was like the scared straight program for bedwetters?
It was like Pavlov's dog program.
Right, yeah. Right. So essentially, you're just going to be so annoyed by this jolting awake of bells that you're eventually going to be conditioned.
Correct.
And so it really doesn't sound like that great of a method. I mean, that's just me saying that now.
This is 1958.
Okay. 59. All right. 58, 59. Modern technology hadn't really taken leaps and bounds. It was a space age almost, right?
But yeah. It was guaranteed bed. Stop bed waiting in 14 days.
All right.
Guaranteed.
I'm just thinking the Pavlov effect might be that every time a bell rings, you change your sheets.
And every time you wet the bed, an angel gets its wings.
Right.
Oh, man. I didn't know that. I'd still be wet in the bed.
So many angels.
So they did my brother first.
Oh, so your brother was having the same
problem. My brother was having the same problem. So
maybe it was what you guys
first.
Were eating for dinner or something.
Well, no, because it was 1,000 degrees in Grand Junction, Colorado.
So you drank
we a drank
lot of
a
water.
Pitcher of Kool-Aid before you went to bed.
Oh, okay.
And lazy to get up and go to the bathroom.
So
it was
like,
easier to wet the bed to have your mom change the sheets.
A couple hours later, you're dreaming of waterfalls and bam.
Yeah. So my brother did it first. What a pain in the butt. 2 o'clock in the morning, bells are going
so everybody's waking up.
Oh, everybody. My mother has to get up, change the sheets, tick that back under. But in about 10 days, my brother quit wetting the bed. So they let him go another 3 days and nothing. So they did me. They tucked the thing under my sheets. Unfortunately, I toss and turn.
Okay.
So I tossed and I turned and the sheets came off of the pad.
Okay.
The pad came off of the device.
Uh-oh.
The device is metal. So when I wet the bed, this little blue flame comes shooting out right into my little weenie, shook me, hair stood on it, every freaking fuse in the house blew, and I set the record for not wetting the bed. One day, But unfortunately, I spent about a week in the hospital. So. No, that's not true. I didn't spend a week. But that's a true story. And the guy, they called the man up, says, come get your things. Well, your son. She goes, nope, he's not wet in the bed no more.
He's not doing much of anything.
No,
actually.
No, he's doing nothing anymore. In fact, his little weenie's bent. And to this day, my little weenie's bent.
Black. Yeah.
Has little black spots on it.
And I'm missing an eyebrow.
True story. Oh. Bedwetter 1000. I'm the world record holder of stop wetting the bed. I've wet the bed since.
You're a success story.
I am. And they wrote me up in the comic books for about a month.
Archie,
did they illustrate it?
It's like, that's worse than old Sparky at Attica or wherever that one was.
When I woke up and looked down, you could see the blue flame right up my little weenie. And I'm screaming. My mom's screaming. Pretty soon it went black. True story.
That hurts.
Hands are up
so
in
bad.
The air. True story.
And, yeah, like you said, you turned out all right. You don't wet the bed anymore. But later in life, you had the unfortunate occasion to be victimized by a monkey.
I had a friend who crapped
the monkey.
Bed.
You what?
Danny Cornelison crapped the bed.
How can you fix that?
Well, the only time he did it is he ate a quart of apricots. Before we had a sleepover, and he ate a quart of apricots. So that's the word where you get the word Hershey squirts. Danny Cornelison invented that. That's just neither here nor there.
Oh, God.
But I didn't sleep over with him for a while.
Yeah. Wow.
True story.
Okay. Yeah, so this monkey, speaking of crap, as you may well imagine, the story does entail said monkey flinging its poo, as monkeys are wont to do. And before we get started with today's harrowing tales of primates and their very, very creepy affinity for their own waste products, I feel that I should state clearly that I really hate going to the zoo. I really, really hate it. Capital H brand hate. And as some of you out there may be thinking that after I utter that sentiment, you might be thinking, yeah, right on, man. The animals are oppressed. Stick it to the man. But you'd be wrong. Yep, you'd be wrong. See, my distaste for the zoo is easily explained away by my theory that there are three kinds of animals in the world. Eating animals, staring animals, and the animals which have the privilege of eating or staring at the previous two. And I'm one of those last animals. I get the privilege of staring at or eating my choice of animals. And as much as, and I don't think I can say this clearly enough, and most of you are probably already aware, I really, really like eating animals. Baby sheep. But while I admit that penguins can be pretty damn entertaining, what with their Keystone Cop style shenanigans and goings on, staring at animals just isn't my thing. How about you?
Nah, not really. Not the zoos around here.
Yeah, well, we've got the one zoo.
Well, I'm including the Denver Zoo as well.
Oh, yeah, because I was about to say, you say zoos plural like we live in a major metropolitan area. Pueblo has a zoo?
Pueblo had a zoo when I was a kid, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
What the hell do they have there?
Grand Junction had a zoo.
Very, very hot animals.
Drunk Indians? I mean, what do they got?
We had a bear. Lion.
But anyway, yeah, staring at animals just isn't my thing. I mean, ooh, wow, look at that hippo take a dump. It's simply riveting. However.
And swim in it.
Yeah, what are they doing? But if that zoo would allow me to eat that hippo's liver, you know, with the fava beans, Chianti, blah, 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 slurp, slurp, I would totally be there every week. Totally.
I can totally see you there, too.
Penguin. But now is your time, Dad. You get to defend yourself and explain how exactly I misrepresented this tale of you versus the monkey on my blog at sonofcheese.com. That's got to be a couple months ago. It was a couple months ago that I posted it.
Yeah.
I told it. I mean, I actually intentionally misrepresented some of the details because I thought it would be much more fun to say that you got nailed on your honeymoon. But
you were bored.
No, I was second. Heather was first.
I know, but I think you were both hanging.
Anyway.
Remember the gremlin?
Well, anyway, yeah, but you get to tell the story now. So you versus the monkey. How many years ago? How old was I when you versus the monkey happened?
You had to be about two.
So that would have been 1976.
Yeah, something like that.
So this was a number of years ago. This was 30 years ago.
You said I was jumping around, pounding my chest. Not true. The guy next to me.
Oh, sure.
This was an ape, and that's where everything was open.
You know, one time I got in a car accident, and I said, well, somebody pulled out of a gas station and made me swerve into the car. You know, I was lying. You're lying, too.
No, I'm not lying. The guy next to me, true story, the guy next to me was pounding on his chest and waving his hands, and the ape kept looking, and she kept looking, and she kept looking. Finally, she took a dump in her hand. And flung it. And it hit me in the face, in the shoulder, in the chest. And it was stink. I mean, if you want to eat that liver, look.
I was under the impression that this was just poop laying around. So this was fresh.
She crapped into her hand.
With intent?
With intent. Well, I'm sure, but she had a bad aim. She must have pitched for the Rockies because it hits me in the head. The guy takes off running.
Oh, sure. Again, this reminds me of the time that I witnessed a car accident.
Yes, I witnessed.
And the guy comes up and I run up and they're both just mangled. And the guy's like, somebody else was driving. My wife wasn't driving. He got out and ran off.
You watch too many cops. Anyway, so I go to the restroom to get paper towels and to clean this poop off. There's no paper towels. It's the push dryer.
So we all loaded into the Gremlin on
a hot summer day and drove 30 miles back to security. I smelled like a piece of ape shit. And it was gross. Oh. I think we threw my clothes away. I was not pounding on my chest.
Absolutely. It was somebody completely different.
So did he laugh his ass off when he saw that?
He took off running.
Yeah, I bet he did. So,
but I hate zoos, too. I hate them. I liked them when you could throw things at the animals. But now you can't do that.
Darts.
You know, the world is my trash can. Let these things go. No, I hate them.
But we have America's only mountain zoo here.
Oh, and isn't that a blast?
Built right into the side of
America. Oh, yeah, walking straight up 110 degrees to look at a coyote that's hiding in the woods. If you wait another hour, you might catch sight of him.
It costs like $1 million to get into this zoo.
Like $15, $12, $15 a person.
Most metropolitan areas have a city-run zoo, right?
Right.
And I believe admission is not just reasonable. Usually it's free.
What a zoo in Grand Junction.
Had a bear.
I don't know. The Denver Zoo isn't free.
Well, but it's reasonably priced because it's city-owned. But, like, this zoo, it costs, like I said, $1 million to get into this stupid zoo. And you walk straight up, you see a few birds, and the giraffes pee on you, and then, you know, then you're done. I mean, it's weak ass.
It is, yeah, and then they call it world famous. I like the Denver Zoo once in a while.
I don't think I've been to the Denver Zoo.
If you hate zoos, don't go to Denver Zoo. Yeah. You won't like it either.
Because it's a zoo.
They've changed them all to where everything's caged in, and like you and the ape, and thank God the ape was caged in there.
Yeah. Just a tip from me to you kids. If you see an ape, don't beat on your chest. They kind of take that as a direct challenge, and they will try to get through whatever they can to get to you. Even if they've got that really thick ape-proof glass, the ape will really pretty much exhaust himself trying to break through.
So we didn't have an ape in Grand Junction.
What'd you have?
Just a bear.
Just a bear.
And a lion. And
are you sure it wasn't the circus?
No, it was a zoo. And my ex-foot doctor tried to let the lion out. Never mind. Well, that's another story for another time.
Well, no.
Well, I don't remember the whole story. Oh, so I didn't know it until I went to a foot doctor. And he says, I used to live in Grand Junction. I tried to cut the lock and let the lion out one night. But they caught us. So we only had one cop in Grand Junction. Earl was his
Earl.
Name.
Earl. Wife, call cop.
Yeah. Call Earl.
Call cop. Dog on lawn. That's like Ellicott. Ellicott's only got one of everything. You know, it's like town. It might as well just be called town. They've got cafe and road and cop. Call cops. Somebody's speeding on road.
Do they have Walmart yet?
I don't think Ellicott has Walmart. And I know Walmart started out in a lot of those little towns like Frisco.
They have Targets?
Targets? No, not Targets, plural. But I don't think Ellicott has much of anything.
I've never been.
Yeah, I'm actually saying all this about Ellicott, and I've never really been.
Oh.
I'm not going.
Look at you. Yeah. Liar.
It's secondhand information. But
I've been to Delta.
Delta's pretty weak-ass, dude. They've got like the people in
onions. They got onions.
Yeah. Oh, it's Montrose. Montrose. People in Montrose, very, very unfriendly.
They cheated in football, too.
I'm sure they did.
Daddy, I need a flag.
So to all our Montrose listeners, hi.
Yeah, hi, assholes.
Here, but Montrose, fuck you.
But we're not really here to talk about
Montrose.
We're talking about
monkeys.
Well, now
Montrose monkeys.
Well, initially we were talking about Dad getting electrocuted in the blue flame.
My little blue weenie flame.
Then we got on to the zoo, and you went to the zoo recently, didn't you? You took your kids to the zoo?
Yeah, it's probably a little over a year ago.
So it's not recently, but you've been to the zoo with your kids.
Yeah. Actually, we also went up there for Boo at the zoo, and I've got a funny story about that. Well, it was funny to be there. I don't know.
You had to be there.
Well,
so Boo at the Zoo is what the Cheyenne Mountain Zoo does for Halloween, right?
Right. They
and what specifically do they set up?
Well, I can say it isn't worth it. Basically, they turn off all the lights, and they have...
let you bump around, and then they let the lion out.
Yes.
It's like...
And the ape.
It's like ancient Rome.
Yeah, but they've got people with a little booth set up for, like, identify your child identity kits and things like that in case your child gets stolen so you can...
Well, once they turn the lights out, that's pretty much a given.
So, anyway, there were a couple of teenagers that had dressed up in skull masks and... in black robes, and the zoo had several displays on the side of the paths as you walk along, and these kids blended into some of those displays.
So they'd jump out and get you?
Yeah, but okay, I was walking with my daughter, and she at the time would have been four and a half, and they jumped out, and she screeched so loud, and she was crying and blubbering the whole remainder
of the trip. She's pretty loud. I mean, this kid is loud. For those of you who have met Colin's daughter, Jordan, you understand. Yeah. For those of you who haven't, what's the loudest thing you can think of outside of Jordan? Like, say, the whale horn that used to give the tornado siren. She can compete. She's got volume.
She can definitely be heard.
She likes can project.
To talk, so, but yeah, that was something else because she was terrified, and they actually seemed to feel bad about that too.
Well, yeah,
I think they were worried that they were going to get kicked out.
Oh, so they weren't actually part of the zoo.
Oh, they
had taken it upon themselves to scare people.
Yeah, they figured it would be a fun thing to do.
Oh, well, yeah. So, you know, what you could have done at that point, since they weren't actual official employees of the zoo and nobody had any record of it, you could have just turned and punched them in the stomach, like you are so wont to do.
But you see, I learned from that. I learned not to do that. I've repressed my inner rage.
Oh, you should have done it.
I know, I should have done it, but I didn't.
So you went there for the boo at the zoo, but you were also there at another time.
Yeah, another time we went, and we stopped in the monkey house, and that's never a good idea.
No.
I mean, first off, it doesn't smell that good.
No.
And we were walking along, and again, my daughter, she would have been a little younger at this time. It was before the boo at the zoo. She noticed one of the little, I don't even know what kind of monkey it was.
It doesn't really matter what it is. No, it's a monkey.
Yeah, it was one of the tinier monkeys. It wasn't one of the bigger apes, but he was going to town. Doing the one-handed shuffle. And
you'll go blind.
Cuffing his carrot.
Yeah. Yes, he was.
Pounding his putt.
He was indeed. And it was unusually long and white. And
maybe
there a blue flame coming out of it?
No, there wasn't. But my daughter says, "What's he doing?" And
oh, my God, look at that giraffe over there. We better go see that giraffe.
Yeah, she's a little too young for that talk.
Looks like its tongue, Daddy.
Just now. So I told her he was playing with a stick. And that satisfied her. So,
you know, the odd thing is I've been to pet stores and seen hamsters doing the same thing, and that's just weird.
Yeah. Well, I guess, you're bored.
I guess you're in a cage, alone. You're in a cage. What else?
Why not put on a show?
I guess. I don't know.
I couldn't do that until I was 14 after the bed wedding.
Set off sparks.
Now,
yes, I did.
Some of the other things you've told me about your childhood, obviously just fabrications, but which day was beaten day?
Well, on Wednesdays, I took my little tricycle down to see the neighbors, the Gonzalez's.
Okay.
And my mom would come get me with a stick. And I would ride my little trike as fast as I could, and my mom would beat me with a stick all the way home. Now, usually on Wednesday was beaten
day. You're lying.
No, that's a true story. Unfortunately, that's a true story.
I mean, your mother is pocket-sized. All of what, 4'9"?
Well, she wasn't then. She was 6 foot tall then.
She's 6 foot tall. Gravity took its toll.
Yeah, she sunk. But she was my dad never, ever. He slapped me once because I cussed out my mother. My dad.
Well, probably because she was hitting you with a stick.
Hit me. I know. But my mother was a disciplinarian, and she'd say, "Wait till your dad gets home." We go, thank God, because dad wasn't going to do nothing. He was great. He was the best dad you ever wanted. But my mother beat me all the time. And undeservingly.
Oh, sure, yeah. Because you never did anything wrong.
No, I never did anything.
Well, how'd you said at one point you had a grand plan to avoid the pain of a spanking, which you knew you were going to get.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, set the scene for us. How old were you?
I was about 6, and we weren't supposed to go down to the river, and we lived by the river, south side of the tracks, north side of the river. And so we went to the river, and I got dirty, muddy. We went swimming, of course, in the sewer part, and I just knew I was going to get whipping. So I found an old 6-pack that beer had been in
a
cardboard box, and they fold down. So I folded it down, stuck it in the back of my pants, and figured when I got my beating, it wasn't going to hurt as much, but it was like muddier than my pants.
Okay.
So my mother decided to take my pants off before she beat me. Out falls this big hunk of muddy crap. Yeah. But the best one, the best thing I did when I was little. I sure got my beating.
And you probably got beat worse, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, because my mother was 6 foot tall.
Yeah, and
mean.
Spring steel and raw hide.
Oh, she was.
So she gave you a regular beating, and then for getting your pants muddy, she probably beat you some more.
And she only had one eye, so she'd miss you sometimes. And then she'd get you back for missing you.
How dare you not be there?
One time she kept saying, "Why is your breath so bad? Jess, your breath is awful." And she'd brush my teeth and make me gargle and nothing.
Because a monkey hit me with shit.
And she finally took me to the doctor, and he starts looking around, and I'd stuffed the page of a magazine up my nose, and it had rotted.
Oh, God. What were you doing?
The doctor kept pulling out little pieces of magazine. I liked picking my nose, and this was giving me a chance to pick my nose. And,
okay. You know,
and so the doctor was pulling out this piece of rotten newsprint by the head. My poor mother was so embarrassed.
So I take it you've never heard this story.
No, and you know
had
I done any of the things that even got close to doing any of the things that he did when he was a kid, he would have killed me.
Yeah, I had to get a spree out of Justin's nose when he was 3.
To get a hunk of meat out of Derek's throat once.
Yeah, but
because he never swallowed or never chewed, swallowed.
Eat, inhale.
Yeah,
I started choking on a big hunk of steak once. And that was pretty bad. But so you say a spree of
the candy spree. Yeah,
wouldn't that have just dissolved over time?
No, well, he was complaining that it was hurting him.
Oh, so. Wuss. Well, suck it up. Rub some dirt on it, Justin.
It'll dissolve.
Well, so I mean, have you ever tried to grab a spree with tweezers?
Well, no, but I can't imagine it would be very... I mean, was it lodged flat side out? Which would make that very hard. Or was it lodged like
it was flat side out. He'd pretty much, stuck it straight up his nose.
Wow, those things are pretty big. Does he have cavernous nostrils? I've never really noticed.
Well, he did after that, yeah.
Yeah, he does now.
But no, it took quite a while to get the spree out of his nose. And the whole time he's squirming and screaming.
Sure, wuss. So.
If you would have shocked him, it would have blown right out. I know when I wanted
I tried. The problem was is he didn't really understand the concept of blowing his nose at the age that he was.
So. How old was he at this time?
Maybe 2, 2.5, 3.
Oh, I guess
around there.
And he got a spree up his nose?
They don't really follow directions that well.
Well, he also almost killed me with a penny once.
Is this like some ninja trick? It's like all you need.
All I'll say is babies are dangerous. You know, if you ever have one on your hands...
Watch them carefully because they're always plotting on you.
Chance. Never ever hold them up above you and look at them. Because he was about 6.5 months old, and apparently he'd found a penny under the couch and had it in his mouth. I didn't know it.
This really bodes well for your attentive parenting here. I mean, you're saying you left him alone long enough
not only to get a spree lodged in his nose. That was later.
But to swallow coins.
No, he didn't swallow it.
Obviously not.
No, he just had it in his mouth.
Okay.
And I went to say, "Hi, Justin, how are you doing?" And I picked him up and held him up above my head, and I'm talking to him, and the penny fell from his mouth into the back of my throat. Damn near killed me.
That's funny. He's probably laughing and having a good...
Oh, yeah, he was smiling. He was a happy baby.
So. That was part of his plan.
Well, I don't know if it was his plan, because I lived.
I used to eat coins, but they wouldn't take me to the doctor and get out of them until I had like $1.50 inside.
Then, make it worth the while. Pay the copay.
Then they'd send me the bathroom to give me Castoria, send me the bathroom with a stick and a little cup. And I'd have to fish through until I found that $1.50.
Well, back then, that was a lot of money.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you're eating like the rent.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We can't make the rent because he ate it.
Yeah. My mother worked and just dirt poor, just had nothing.
But if she was that big, she probably could have.
6 foot tall. She wrestled on the side.
Did she?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And they called her the Moon Woman.
The Moon Woman.
And she was undefeated for a while. Her second match she lost, but she was good.
Was she?
Yeah.
You wouldn't know by looking at her now.
Well, no. She's old now.
Yeah. And gravity's taking its toll.
Yeah.
And she's 4'9" now.
4'9".
Maybe. Meaner in hell, though, now.
Oh,
still.
Yeah.
Meaner, I mean, it's...
Vengeful.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah. She,
Yeah. In fact, don't ever piss off my grandmother, my dad's mother, because if you do, you'll end up on the wrong end of God's wrath. Set the scene. She was working in Waco, Texas.
My mother was running the William Booth Garden. She was a manager of the William Booth Garden Apartments in Waco, Texas. And she had one problem tenant that just wouldn't pay her rent, wouldn't do as she is told, would do everything that was wrong. She would stand out and defy anybody to tell her she couldn't do it. And so my mother, being very religious, once she got done with her wrestling career and started shrinking, she became religious. And she prayed one night to God, and this is a true story, please take care of this problem for us. This lady has just become unbearable. Please take care of the problem. The next day, the lady was hit and killed by a city bus. So we threaten everybody. I'm going to put your mom on my mom's prayer list. Yeah, you... Honest to God, true story. The lady was hit and killed by a city bus.
Direct line to God.
That's right.
That's right. You want the wrath of God, you go see Lila Knight.
Lila Knight. Go see her. 4'9".
You'll pick
she's
her
still,
out.
She's still where she got her tattoos. They're starting to wear out. She's 82 now, but they still show a little. The one that's, you know, she has hate on one finger and love on the other fingers, you know.
She, Jailhouse Ink is what that was?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. She was in jail off and on my whole childhood.
Public intoxication, assault, drugs, battery, drugs.
Yeah, big drug, heavy drugs.
And then she found God.
I didn't know Grand Junction had a big drug scene.
Oh, yeah, they, sure.
For those of you not in the know, Grand Junction is a town on the western slope of Colorado. Currently, of course, like I said, this is the Son of Cheese half-hour power hour from Maison de Chevalier in Colorado Springs. But about 300 miles west is where my dad grew up, in Grand Junction.
Right. Junction.
We're talking about the Grand Junction.
We had a zoo in Grand Junction, too.
Had a bear.
A bear and a lion. Yeah. But, yeah, she worked at the Beanery. And
what was the Beanery?
It was a restaurant.
I've never been to the Beanery. I'm sorry.
They sell beans.
It's just like Gunther Tootie's. It was just like what Gunther Tootie's is now. And she worked there. She worked at Woolsworth. She worked at Spud Nuts. I used to sell Spud Nuts.
Spud Nuts?
Yeah.
I've heard Spud Nuts is what you had when you had that leakage and you swelled up.
I had, oh man, that was bad. But every Saturday morning, you could get a dozen Spud Nuts for 50 cents. And they had the Spud Nut boys. Well, my mom volunteered me to go sell Spud Nuts. I ate half of my Spud Nuts before they gave you like 20 dozen in this little basket around your neck, and you go around and sell them. Well, what I didn't need, I spent the money, so I got fired. And then my mom beat me when she got fired.
Right, yeah, because you made her look bad. Yeah. That wasn't the first time you'd been fired, though. It was the first time, but it wasn't the last time.
No, I've been fired many times.
Right.
Yeah. I was fired for... Well, I just been fired. I was fired once for because the boss pounded his counter, his hands on the counter, and was screaming and hollering. And he's, "What do you think of that?" And I says, "Well, I think you ought to be teaching kindergarten because maybe the little kids will be impressed." Bam! Out the door I went.
Well, yeah.
Then I was working for a golf course, and I didn't like the owners. And we used to get in shouting matches, and I'd call him an old piece of shit, and he'd call me an idiot. And 4 years this went on, and one day he come in and
I'm
tired of that.
You figured it was all in good fun.
So he fired me at Christmas time.
Oh, so he was just holding out.
Waiting
for Christmas time. We didn't get any presents that year.
No.
I'm kidding. We were already grown.
We were Jewish, so we grew up Jewish, so we never got presents.
We did?
No, me.
Oh, I was about to say, we did? Where's my yarmulke?
Yeah. No, I wasn't Jewish. Oh, yeah. What's his name? Died.
Who? Oh, Aaron Spelling?
Oh, what a... I used to have to deal with him when I worked at Adelphia for 6 months. He would call at midnight and say, or 10 o'clock at night, and say, "I want this problem fixed now." You'd say, "Sir, we'll have somebody out first thing in the morning." "You either get it fixed now or we'll pull all my programming off your cable." And we'd have to go out and fix it. I mean, who's going to miss him? Really? Nobody's going to miss. And his daughter was just as bad.
Well,
was just as bad.
Well, she might miss him, though.
And he actually died 3 weeks ago. I mean, you just heard about that today?
Yeah.
Okay.
What happened?
The stroke.
Oh.
3 weeks ago.
I thought he died talking on the phone.
Well, maybe he was talking to the Adelphia rep, and the Adelphia rep said no.
Yeah, maybe so.
He just died yesterday. Which tells you exactly when we're recording this particular program.
Oh, yeah, he died 2 weeks ago.
3 weeks ago.
This ain't going to be on for 3 weeks?
No.
Oh, crap.
Don't talk about anything current.
Oh, do you know that John Benet? I hear they're going to trade Bertuzzi.
Yeah. Oh, wait, that happened 3 weeks ago.
3 weeks ago, they were going to trade Bertuzzi.
So if you want to try to make a prediction for 3 weeks from now.
The Rockies lost 14-7 in extra innings to the Dodgers.
To somebody at some point. I got to check their schedule. Anyway,
I
this is the...
prefab.
This is the Son of Cheese Half Hour Power Hour. I'm Derek Knight of sonofcheese.com. Thanks for joining us again on this big Wednesday. We'll be back again next Wednesday, each and every Wednesday. With me, as always, Colin Burton of fizzlingpop.com.
Hello. Goodbye.
No, yeah, goodbye. Great to be here. Or
yeah, it is. It's wonderful to be here, and thanks for listening.
And our special guest in studio today told many inappropriate stories, and we thank him very much for that, my dad, Jess Knight.
Thank you very much. Fuck you, Montrose.
All right. Thanks again, kids, for listening. We'll see you again next Wednesday.